Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day on this Open Line Fun Sunday. I'm your host to The Outdoor Show, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing The Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
What is up in H-Town?
Man, nothing much. We were talking about the Astros earlier, so I'm in a good mood, kicking some butt.
Yeah, I'm serious. That's, man, Alvarez, what do you say about that guy? Golly, what, I mean,
he's a stud.
What a gift.
He is a stud.
He is a beast. He's something else, man. What is that, four home runs in five games now?
Something like that. It's
went 3-for-4 two nights in a row.
It's crazy. I think he's had 5 at-bats, and he has 4 home runs or something like that. It's wild, man.
And the most pure swing out of a left-hander I've seen in a long time, probably one of the best, you know, like Bonds or Strawberry. You know, you think of guys like that that just put the barrel of the bat on the ball and just – no effortless power. Golly.
Easy for him.
All right. I'm looking forward to the game today. We got a 1 o'clock game today, so that's better for Father's Day. Then I can get real serious on that U.S. Open.
Yes, sir.
That's, boy, I'm enjoying that. And we'll see what everybody thinks about that today on Open Line Sunday, see who there could have a dark horse today to come out of the shadows and take it away from Woodland, or will Woodland hang in there and keep playing steady golf, only one bogey the whole tournament, and take this thing. So, pretty good golf. I wouldn't want to be playing on that course. What an awesome, beautiful course along that ocean front. You can't get a better atmosphere than that.
It's pretty cool.
Well, Austin, it's good to have you back for Open Line Sunday. Let's get rolling, man. While the getting is good. All right. Sponsors for today's show: Castaway Rods, the CCA Star Tournament, Belleville Meat Market, Boyd's One Stop, Skeeter's Auto Service, Mainstream Marketing, Texan Roofing, and McLean Trailers. All right, Galveston. Current conditions right down there right now. Mostly cloudy with wind. How about that? They're saying wind. Imagine that. It is cranking out there, folks. It's 83 degrees down on the island. It feels like 91 with the humidity. Looking at today's forecast, 50% chance of showers or thunderstorms. They could be scattered. High of 87. Winds will be south at 20 to 30 miles per hour. And then tonight, 60% chance, scattered thunderstorms. Low of 78. Winds will be southeast, 15 to 25. Pretty much the same tomorrow. 60% chance of rain with highs of 87, south winds at 10 to 20. Barometric pressure down on the island is 29.72 inches and falling. Visibility 10 miles. Dew point 77. Humidity is 84%. So that's kind of where we're at on weather. The blowing is not over yet. Well, I thought it was through for the year, but apparently not. So sorry to read off this forecast. Anyway, tides for today, we're on a two-tide schedule. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have a high this morning at 6:10 a.m. It's a 1.6, then a low at 10:28 p.m. It's a negative 0.5. Moon phase right now is 97%, and sunrise this morning, 6:19 a.m. Sunset this evening, 8:20 p.m. So we're into our long summer days. Right now, current conditions offshore, the buoy is showing south at 22, gusting to 27. Wave heights and trends are not available. Water temps 85. All the other sites inside the bay system are down. We don't have any current conditions to give you inside the bay. I can tell you what it was like on Trinity Bay when I left. It was just surf's up. I mean, it sounded like surf. It was roaring. Trinity Bay was definitely white capping. I can give you some currents on another site I have here. Looks like Galveston North Jetty. It's 27 miles per hour. Galveston Fishing Pier, 23. That's just sustained stuff. Eagle Point 23, just to give you a general idea. It's blowing all up and down the coast. The farther you go down the coast, 25, 23, down around Matagorda, Rockport area, Corpus 28. So it's definitely breezy. We do have a, for Galveston, we have a rip current statement has been, an advisory has been posted, and a beach hazard statement. So if you don't have to get in the water, please don't. You know, we had a man drowned trying to get swim to the third bar near Surfside Beach. And then I heard later, I couldn't confirm it this morning, but I heard there was possibly a drowning over around Seabrook yesterday. So, you know, if you're going to do something like that, put on a life jacket. PFDs save lives. That's all they do. I know they're uncomfortable. You know, some of them, if you wear an Onyx PFD like I do, it's not uncomfortable. It'll save your life. That's all it'll do. So, if you like living, wear a PFD when you're doing things that are just a little bit iffy. All right, well, that's pretty much where we're at this morning. Open line Sunday on a Father's Day. So let's go to the Hammer over in the Tri-Bay area and see what's going on with Captain Glenn Hammond. Hammond, what's up this morning, man?
Hey, good morning, Captain Mickey. How are you, brother?
Oh, I'm good, man. Doing better than most, I'll tell you.
Well, you sound real good. You sound real good.
Hey, it's Father's Day. You know, it's
happy Father's.
It's our day today.
Yes, it is. Do anything you feel like it.
Do what you like. I know what I'm gonna do. If it's gonna rain, I won't be spending a lot outdoors today. I'll be watching Astros and the U.S. Open. Pretty good way to
living a dream.
Yeah, and hoping there's some good cooking going on around.
There you go, buddy. There you go. It's hey, man, we got 12, 14 miles an hour, 14 to 19 right now. It looks like it's coming due south. And
it is.
Oh, my goodness. It blew the paint off the boat yesterday. Good Lord. We just went out for the fun of it. I had some neighbors. They took their boat, and we took ours. And we just went out to piddle around. Actually, I had a charter yesterday morning. I had an 82-year-old feller, and bless his heart, you know what? He just said, "Hey, man, let's call this off." I mean, we tried it for a while. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a little tough on a old fellow like that. Yeah, that's...
yes, sir. And I don't even like bumping my batteries and all my stuff around in the boat, let alone other people. You know, especially like that. So, no, man, we kind of knew it was going to be rough before we even got out there. So before we even met, but we took some hop-o-matics, and, you know, knowing what I know and where I go, man, I would have thought we would have been able to get something. But, man, in our boat, we didn't have one keeper fish. We threw back a couple small drum and a couple baby reds and, you know, just pick and peck and just, yeah, I don't know, just more or less the camaraderie was, you know, we had a better time visiting than we did fishing. And
yeah,
but my neighbors put, I think they had 5 black drum, 1 sand trout, and, you know, just a few fish here and there. I cleaned them up for them last night. But we had a 35-year-old man drowned down towards San Luis Pass. That was the third drowning victim of Surfside Beach. I think one in Matagorda, one in Galveston, now another one. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, and then we had the police chief Akima last weekend.
Oh, man.
In the bay, man. And then I heard of one near Seabrook yesterday. Said he was going swimming out to get a crab trap or something, and the current got him. I don't know. I don't know what that was about. I can't get anything on it yet this morning.
Well, I tell you what, it was something else yesterday.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like I said, we got about 19, 20. It feels like it's blowing a lot harder than that, especially coming due out of the south. And anybody that knows that this area, right down along the beach, the way our coastline runs, that south wind ain't going to do you no good, not blowing up with the velocity that it has right now. So it dirties everything up all the way down from San Luis Pass to the jetties. And I'm not complaining about that because really fishing's been pretty good when we can get out there and get to them. We're using mostly live bait. I'm hardly doing any artificial right now. It seems like I kind of split the year up, half and half. About 6 months I'll use artificial in through the winter months. You know, it's a it works a lot better for us down here. And then in the summertime, we just kind of match the hatch. And I haven't used any croakers, but I do plenty good on live shrimp, and it gets plenty of action for the folks on the boat and everything. So, the current jetties and everything, it's the way it is right now. I think it's more of a rip current than it is anything else. I mean, when you have those waves crashing in and coming in on those guts and stuff, they just underestimate the current, I believe. It's more of a current that just, it works you and works against you, and you just can't do it. I mean, you have to be a heck of a swimmer to get out there and do that.
Yes, you do. We've all done it, swim for the third bar, but mainly in calm conditions where you don't have a lot of current, and it looked like Friday afternoon that wind had picked up a little bit when that guy went for the third bar thing. And
man,
if you're going to do things like that, you just got to be an experienced swimmer. And they said he got tired and went under. That's what the report said on it. But
yes, sir.
It's a shame. Yes, there's somebody without a father for Father's Day. It's just,
yes, sir,
tragic.
It really is. I called around the complex yesterday and just to check out the bait availability. And it seems like everybody's got some finger mullet and some mud minnows and some live shrimp down here in the area. Yeah. And croakers, too. I've even seen the croaker flags flying. So
that's a yellow flag?
Yes, sir, the yellow one. Yeah. But the yellow one and the black for dead. And the
black
white
for dead
live
bait. That's like black black flag roach spray.
I think
remember
the
that
blue
commercial?
Flag. Yeah. And the blue flags for finger mullet. Yeah. But so anyway, all the bait camps are holding bait and everything. It looks good.
Does anybody, I hate to be discriminated on. Like, does anybody fly artificial bait flags?
No. No,
shucks.
Just a bunch of pot-licking bait throwers.
Oh, man. We're being left out over here, bud.
Just a bunch of pot-lickers down here, buddy, believe me. I had them follow me around the bay again yesterday, man. Look over my shoulder, and I got two boats coming right at me.
That's what I hear, man. I laughed at a bunch of my buddies. They said it was definitely bird dog and pot licking going on Friday and Saturday. Just, there's just so many people out fishing, and everybody wants to catch them, of course, and they just don't. They just don't use their better senses and everything. Yeah, they just. Hey, I'm getting in there and getting me some.
Yes, sir. It's No, it's really good down here. I mean, when we can get to them and everything, but as it is right now, I wouldn't go out there, and I'm not going to put nobody in. I'm glad I don't have to go out. This is the days that makes me so proud that Melinda and I had that palapa built on our property. We set up underneath that thing yesterday, Captain Mickey, after I got in and got beaten, back and put all my teeth back in my mouth and everything that was all jarred loose. I'm telling you, buddy, I was a blow. It's huffing pretty good right now. We're getting gusts up to 17 to 23 miles an hour, so it's picking up down here.
Well, they're calling for gusts to 30 today.
But anyway, before I go, I just want to tell you, Captain Mickey, happy Father's Day. So
thank you very much, sir. Appreciate that.
Yes, sir. I hope y'all have a great, great day. All of you fathers out there. That means every father out there.
Well, it started off good. I got up this morning, so that's a plus.
Yes, that's a great deal, buddy.
My legs were moving, and my brain was functioning somewhat.
I don't think yours ever quits, buddy.
I don't know, boy.
I don't.
All right, Hammer. Well, hey, if somebody wants to come down and have a fun fishing trip with you, how do they get a hold of you, buddy?
They can reach me at 713-208-0683. Thank you, Captain Mickey, and happy Father's Day, brother.
Thank you. Take care, Glenn. All right, see you, man. All right, that's a Hammer down in the Tri-Bay area preparing for another blow today. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It is 419 in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down south now, like we do every Sunday, second segment, and we'll talk to Captain Tony Gonzalez down there and see what's going on in the Rockport area. Tony, good morning. What's up, man?
Not much. Good morning, Captain Mick. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you. Happy Father's Day to you. Are you a father?
No, I'm not. I adopted a couple of flatbillers around here that like to follow me around. But
there you go.
That's about it. They help out a lot.
That's good.
But oh, did it blow yesterday?
Golly, it was a smoker.
Yeah, that harbor is something else. You know, it's not real big, and it's only when it's blowing like that, there's only room for one boat to maneuver and get out of there. And it was a
circuit. Where'd you put in at Goose Island?
Right here by Goose Island.
Okay,
and it's just a small little. You know, when it's blowing like that, it'll blow you into this little windbreak, and it's tough getting out of there. And they have, as you're trying to get out. Right at boat level, there's one bolt that sticks out about 6 inches.
Oh, boy. And,
oh, it's scary. I keep seeing everyone get real close to it. But we scraped out a few fish yesterday. I had three people that I met from the boat show, Mike and his wife Pam, and they brought their granddaughter. And we ended up with seven trout, a couple of big gar. And it was just a good learning lesson for him. He'd never done any of this over here. He mostly fishes freshwater in Conroe, and
and
he liked it. He thought, "Oh, this is great." He's like, he's wanting to come back in October, and they had met them at the fishing show. So it's a long time from the fishing show to now. They call every once in a while, and we're getting excited, want to know the reports. But it turned out pretty good. Just with protected water.
That's a good swap out. You know, freshwater anglers like to hit the salt water for something different, especially in the summer months. And then, you know, like we do, you know, like saltwater guys, we like to go up and fish freshwater too on occasion. So
yeah, take a break, you know.
Yeah, fishing's fishing, man. Do something a little different, you know.
That's pleasant when you take a freshwater trip, you know, because everybody that drives by you, they slow down and they wave. Out here we don't quite do that. We wave a different way out here.
Yeah, the old fickle finger of fate award.
And that's it, you know.
Like I had, on Laugh-In.
But we had, you know, yesterday I had some weird winds, you know. I was trying to get protected winds. It's blowing one direction as you're coming across the bay. And you get around this corner, and then it's coming back the other direction. Like, yo, this wind's coming from every direction. But I found some green water, and it paid off. You know, we were having to go through a bunch of gaff tops yesterday. And a couple of guys saw me, you know, hook up. But they played right. You know, they went probably half a mile back, dropped their waders, and their waders came to about 200 yards from me, from behind me. And those guys had picked up some trout. I talked to them at the boat ramp.
Yeah.
But let's see.
Well, at least they did it right, went in behind you and gave you plenty of room. Now, happens, you know, I had a guy put me on Facebook one time, said, can you believe this guy just pulled in and cut my weight off? Well, I'd been there all morning. He comes in there at like 10 o'clock, and I didn't have weight fishermen, and I'd troll motor back around and then get up in there, I don't know, about chest deep water off the shoreline and drift out. All the fish were out deep. And they saw us catching them, so him and another guy came in and anchored up shallow and got out and waited. Well, they're right in my drift line, and so I troll motor back around, and I'm 100 yards out from them. I didn't hurt anything.
Right.
And I sat back up on my normal drift line. I only needed a few fish more for a limit, and he takes a picture of me and puts it on Facebook. Can you believe the nerve of this guy? Do y'all know this guy? Well, sure they know me. Got a rap with my name on the boat and just, you know, just childish stuff like that. And, I mean, I was there first, and I wasn't going to give it to him. I mean, I found him, and I was going to stick with him until I got my limit. Then I left. He could have the whole place. I was there first.
He knows what he was doing.
Yeah, he knew exactly, but put that on Facebook. But I hadn't run into that guy since, so I'll get the opportunity one day. We'll talk about
it. No, it doesn't.
Man-to-man, face-to-face, instead of keyboarding it, you know.
Good
keyboard
old time.
Warrior. Yeah,
I like that.
Do it like a man.
That's right. I mean, everybody, that's what I tell my customers.
Work
y'all,
things you know, out. Let's sort things out here, bud.
Well, they, you know, and I had one customer. I told you about that one where this guy, they were doing the kind of the Galveston croaker fishing where they're dragging behind the boat.
Yeah.
And he was starting to drag in front of me. And I could see he had an anchor out even and was dragging anchor. And it was dragging over the top of that anchor.
Oh,
and that
boy.
Anchor wasn't sticking. He was sliding in there. And I pointed at him and I yelled at him. That lady, I could see her eyes got kind of big. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to get ugly with him. But if you give them an inch, they're going to take it. You know, sometimes if you yell at them, the guy ain't going to let us pull in front of him, you know.
Well, you need to come to Galveston. Away. They don't absorb any of that.
No, they'll. I'm sure they. Huh. When they get that close, they act like they don't hear you or see you. You know, they won't even look your direction over here when they start doing that.
Yeah.
And like you said, they know what they're doing because I explained it to that lady yesterday. Like you hear that boat, or they come off plane. Uh huh. I think they're going to try to slide over here in front, and then they did.
Yeah, at least pull in behind somebody and start your drift. Don't cut in front of their drift and set up and cut them off, man. That right there burns me up pretty bad.
Right, because, I mean, the way I cut, you know, I'll drift that croaker, and I'm not doing it from behind the boat. I'm casting way out there, and I'm working it, popping it, keeping it above the grass. As soon as I stick the fish, I'll stop that boat, I mean, immediately.
Sure.
And then we'll catch 2, 3, 5, maybe 20 sometimes. But then I'm always going to pick up that anchor and continue my drift. And they'll pull in front of you because they let, you know, you did the work for them kind of deal. Like, y'all, that's just a part of Saturday. It's just our mentality now. We have that, you elbow your way in. You don't assimilate or try to, you know. Like when I was learning, y'all, I'd sit on the outskirts, watch what these guys were doing.
Yeah.
Not pull in there and just kind of see how they're working that area. Maybe tomorrow or the next day I'll try it myself, you know, but just let them have it, you know, and try to fit in. But not everybody follows the rules. Not everybody listens to the outdoor show either, of course. So they need to.
This show, when Pappy and Bob Jr. had it, they used to preach etiquette day in and day out, and it doesn't stick, man. It's just... there's no self-absorption there. It just goes in one ear and out the other.
And everybody likes it. You know, I tell them about your theory on the bear. I was like, you know, Captain Minky always talks about the bear theory. They paid to see the bear. They're going to see the bear.
And yeah, we went to the fair and paid to get in the fair to see the bear. And, hey, it's owed to us. We're gonna get ours, you know. And then you get out on the water, and you better watch it. Watch out which bear you poke out there. Don't poke the bear. That's always a good rule, too.
That's right.
Don't poke the bear.
It's picking up this week, early week. I'm ending up, it seems like, with about half of the fish I would like to.
I have
four people, I'll get 10 trout.
Yeah.
But two people, you know, or 5 to 6. And everybody's been happy. But like, you know, you were saying that the other day, the croaker guys are even only getting about half of their trout. I've only had a couple of days where we got for 20.
Right.
And that's even with the other guides around.
Right.
They're all about the same stringers, but, everybody's been happy. You know, had customers I have hadn't been about numbers. A lot of them, they're just learning. So, they've been happy with their catches, go home and eat and,
well, that's what a lot of people book guides for, is to learn, and it's up to us to show them. Show
right.
me, you know, show me how you do it. Why did you put that lure on? Why did you catch those 5 fish in a row after you switched baits? You know, you got to explain
right.
it to them. Same way with live bait fishing, rigging, all that. You know, how to rig a Carolina croaker rig, what kind of hook to use, you know, size of the bait, whether you're using shrimp, what size cork, you know, all that plays in. What kind of rod and reel, how
right.
test line, you know, it just all, you know, if somebody's booking and really wants to know, they'll absorb all that.
I mean, it's funny, you know, some people, they get it right off the bat, and some don't. You know, I had a little girl on Tuesday. She was just as smart as a whip, you know, everything I explained, she grabbed it. And then when the little brother would, you know, like, pop that croaker, he'd kind of pop it. And I was just reel out that slack, then pop that croaker, wake that up, he'll pick him up, he'll start swimming again, he'll go hot. Well, that little girl, she was correcting the brother. He said, do it like this. And look, you pick up everything on the first try. Oh, that's great. You're doing awesome. And that was
well,
a fun
I've kind of learned that over the years. Women tend to, whether it's a girl or a lady, they tend to listen closely and, you know, do what you say. They pick it up pretty fast. You know how some of us men are. We're hard-headed. We want to do it our way. It's kind of like when you travel, nobody wants to look at a map or use a GPS or just go on raw ability. Hey, hang on a second, Tony. I want to ask you some more stuff about rigging live bait and all that. We don't get to get into that too much. And let me do a quick commercial break, and I'll come back to you. Is that all right with you? You got time?
You bet.
All right. Hang with me, Tony. Good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
And there's well, two or three places like that.
I mean, become normal fishing for me then. I'm a struggler. The struggle is real. I struggle all day.
The struggle is real over
That's
there.
It, man. I struggle all day.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show. Captain Mickey will tell you where to go and what to throw.
I remember a buddy of mine tied our surfboards down on my GTO and I was going through the Baytown LaCorte tunnel headed to Galveston and they blew off in the tunnel.
Oh no.
I didn't even go back. No need in it. It was all a bloody mess back
there.
I'm just glad that surfboard didn't go through somebody's grill.
Boy, yeah.
Just
you.
Went on to Galveston and went to the surfboard shop.
They hunting and fishing all the time and it ain't working. Beats all I've ever seen. And waking up at 4 a.m. before the roosters start to crow. If you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 437 here in the breezy Bayou City this morning. And G-Town's breezy. Rockport's breezy. The whole coast. The whole Gulf Coast. We've got a pretty good southerly working right here. Noticed earlier a couple of showers went up through the north end of Trinity Bay. So we got a few pop-ups working here and there. But we'll get through it. It's Father's Day. We'll make the most of it. It's our day. It was quite enjoyable. I got to spend all day with my grandson yesterday. He's 3 months old now. Boy's getting strong. I think he'll be a trout fisherman. You think he's got a pretty good shot at that? Let's go down to Tony again and let's talk to him some more. I want to talk about some of this live bait rigging. Tony, are you there, my friend? Did I get you
up? Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, I'm here. I was going to ask you, too. You know, I'm not that experienced with fishing with croakers. Now, I did a lot of live bait fishing back in the day, you know, when we first started gadding Trinity Bay and East Bay and all that back in the late 70s, early 80s. You know, we didn't have the, you know, the availability of lures like we do these days. It was kind of hard to consistently catch trout on the deep water structure and all that with what we had to work with back then, you know, like with mirror lures and spoons and stuff, but we threw a lot of popping cork and shrimp. Now, from what I understand, you can hook a croaker a couple of different ways. Like you guys down there when you're fishing a lot of shallow and shallow flats with potholes and grass and all that, you can actually stick a croaker with a hook to make him stay up, make him swim upward after you've put him on the hook. And another way you can hook it to where he can stay down. Is that correct?
Well, I prefer hooking them in that bottom fin.
They're a little anal fin, yeah.
Right there, and that way I can, because I'm trying to put that thing out there as far as I can. You know, I can put it out there 60 to 75 yards.
Yeah,
the wind like today.
Sling it, yeah.
I can really put it out there. And then I use them old buggy whips and big long sticks.
Right.
And, you know, that it's that inertia, and when I describe it to people, it's like in the old days, kids would go to the roller rink, and you get two or three of them holding hands, and they go around that corner, and that one on the end would get faster. And then now you put seven or eight kids
pop
on
the
there,
whip, yeah.
And then he gets around there, he's really moving. So, you know, with that, the rods I use, you know, I use that Croaker Smokers one rod because I like that long handle. And that's, right. that's what I like, is that long handle. And it's more of a catapult effect. I'm pushing down with one hand, lifting up with the other.
Right, you got backbone and meat at the bottom end of the rod, but you got a good, light, lively tip where you can just really slingshot it, you know.
Right, because it's a fast tip. It's real, you know. It's real soft. That way, you know, the macho guys don't rip that lip too far, because, you know, it's a lot of rod. And that's the problem, like you were saying about with women and kids do better than men, and they do because of the macho factor.
Yeah.
Well, the guy, he wants to set that hook and reel down two or three cranks and set that hook again, and usually he's gone. You know, right,
yeah,
when they drop that
rod. Goes
to
marlin pumping, man. That's what I call it, marlin pumping.
Right, and, you know, like you know, Mr. Russell used to tell me when I first started with him, "Hey, Bill Dance, that's enough of that."
<He's> like, Bill Dance,
you don't need that hard hook set, you know. And so, you know, I use a 20 to 30 pound leader. You know, I use 20 on trout when I'm starting to target redfish. I'll go to that bigger leader, and I use a high vis line. I'm using that. It's a Suffolk Siege high yellow vis.
Yeah,
and I can watch everybody's line. So I'll put that croaker way out there, 60 yards, and one of the things right off the bat that I get to people in the first 5-10 minutes, I'll tell them, you know, guys, it doesn't sound right. What do you mean it doesn't sound right? I was like, well, it's like driving on a construction site and you don't hear any hammers hammering, any saws cutting, any bobcats beeping. It's like nobody's working. Like, I need to hear that pop and that whip and that whip, and then I'll fish a second with them, and I'll work that about every 30 seconds to a minute. I'll reel out that slack and I'll pop that croaker, because he's not safe by himself. He's protected in numbers. So he's only going to croak and swim for a minute or two, and he's going to go down that grass or that oyster shell.
He's going to settle. Yeah, you got to stir him up, man. Make him get verbal again. Start making noise and move him around a little bit to attract something.
Right. So, I mean, I'm working that croaker almost harder than some people work a popping cork, you know.
Yeah.
Reel it, you pick it up, and a lot of times after that pop, they'll nail it. And then, you know, so I'm just reel down and lean on that fish. And I'll explain, Mickey always talks about leaning on a fish. Like, you don't have to have that big, you know, that big sweeping hook set. A lot of times you're just going to rip it.
Yeah.
So like, and plus, when you set that hook, now look at your hands. It's like your rod's up above your head. Where are you going to go from there, y'all? You're going to have to drop that rod tip down again, and he's gone.
Yeah, if you give him slack, if you're experienced, you know, if you got to drop your rod tip, you compensate with your reel, and
right.
Reel down, keep tight. You know, you got to be tight, baby.
You got to be tight, and you know, the women and kids, they don't have that big set. You know, they're just, oh, it's gone, and all they're doing is just reeling tight, and he's on there. And a lot of times, I'll put my hand in front of their rod, because as they're reeling squares, not circles.
Well,
they get excited.
Y'all use those what they call croaker hooks. They're like a kale hook. They're not a full circle hook, but those fish actually do, in a way, if you get tight with them, they'll hook themselves, correct?
Correct. Yeah, I don't use, you know, that croaker hook. It has a, you know, it's a wide gap. It bends around, and then that eye is turned almost 90 degrees.
Right.
Well, mine, I don't have that turn. I use a Eagle Claw 043SS. It's a stainless steel. And I use a 3-0 and a 4-0, and that's like a kale, but it's not that croaker. The eye is normal, and it's an offset hook, so it's, you know, it's bent.
Yeah, the hook's offset, but the eye isn't. It isn't offset too. It's straight. You got a straight shank going straight down the hook instead of the offset.
Correct.
I got you.
And those are everything I have is all Russell stuff. You know, the rod, the lines, the way I anchor the boat. I mean, mm-hmm. it's Grandpa's recipe. And that's what's working for me. It's because I'm sticking to it. And, you know, those hooks, I used to have to order them special. Russell, you know, what kind of hook is that? And he told me, you'll never find them. Like, I find everything. And he was right. I had a problem finding them, and I had to order direct from Eagle Claw. And they had to fire up the mill for 1,000 hooks. And that's what I'm using. It's about putting that croaker west far away from the boat. I have an old book written by George Meeson and Greg Kubison called Pocket Guide to Speckled Trout and Redfish, South Texas Coast Edition. It's an older book. And in there, he talks about us fishing these high-pressured waters over here and putting the distance between you and your bait. And that's a key. You know, a lot of people, they come, they want to I do a lot of casting for my customers, but I have six or seven extra reels in my box. Here you go, and I'll cast, and usually they backlash instantly because I have my reels so loose. And I'll help them out, you know, try to teach them how to cast, but at some point I'm like, y'all, we need to start catching these fish. And when they're casting 25 to 30 yards, and I'm putting one twice the distance.
Sure.
It's you know, a lot of boat noise, boat slap.
Yeah, boat slap, and, you know, your water's cleaner and clearer down there, plus you're fishing shallower, and the fish are very acclimated to what a boat is.
Right.
And, it's you know, it's kind of like sending a great white shark up on a flat to feed. Everything's going to scatter, and pretty much the same. My grandpa always told me, hey, son, if you're going to catch fish, you got to think like a fish. I mean, if you were a fish in the water, what would you do with all this going on? You'd either quit biting or you'd access deep water. You'd move out of the way of all this. And, you know, he was,
right.
Boy, he didn't even like anybody talking loud, and he liked it real quiet.
Well,
slamming hatches in the boat, I mean...
That's the worst.
You know, ice chest lids. I mean, you know, it all.
I have a little sticker on the front of my windshield that says, don't slam the lids, but apostrophe me with the exclamation point at the end. And the guys at the fishing show that had to boot the cross for me, and I was going to try to get Joe to call you and give you a report. He's from Delacroix.
Delacroix, yeah.
His partner, Chad Dufresne, he came and talked to me. He was so funny.
I know Chad.
Okay, well, he's like, Tony, what do you believe about, you know, noise? So I was like, oh, I believe in it, you know, no noise. And he's like, he started explaining to me that his father and his grandfather were gill netters.
Yeah.
And that they used to set a gill net up. He's like, they would set a gill net up on a shoreline, and they'd pull that boat out way in front, couple hundred yards in front of it, and start slamming ice chest lids.
Yeah, or slapping paddles on the water. Yeah.
Right. And he's like, and those fish would run so fast from that noise that when they hit the net, they break their necks.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's how much they hate noise, you know. And then Mike McBride, he posted a video this winter, and he had trout under a light. And it sounded like all he did was open a deck hatch and just let it hit the floor, and they were gone, like he threw a piece of dynamite in there. And, I mean, that... Yes, I highly believe in it, and that's why I cast so far. It's just for that reason, you know.
Right. Well, that's good info, you know, and hopefully that'll help some people out in their future trips out on the water. So, well, Tony, if somebody wants to book you and come down and learn and have a good time and fish with a great guy, I know you're a really good dude, and I always enjoy your company at the fishing show. That's about the only time I ever get to see you personally, but throw them out a number, man.
Sure, you can reach me at 210-846-5083, or you can go online to captaintgif.com, abbreviate captain.
You got it, man.
Okay.
All right, well, Tony, have a great Sunday, and I'll talk to you next week, my friend.
You too. Remember, you and Bob Hardy ought to talk about coming down here and come fishing with us.
I know it. We need to do that. I'm going to start doing a bunch of bucket stuff for too long. I'm not getting any younger. I got to go test the waters. All right, buddy.
You bet. Okay,
thanks, Tony. Appreciate it. See you, man.
Yes,
all right, that's Captain Tony Gonzalez down in Rockport. Now let's go to Port O'Connor and see if that wind's blowing down there, too, which I kind of know it is. Lynn Smith. Lynn, good morning. You up and at 'em, buddy?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, man?
Good, man. Good. Yeah, that wind definitely blows down here.
The coastal bend, baby. If it don't bend, it'll break.
Yeah, it definitely blows down here, and but that strong wind sure blew some water in, didn't?
Yes, it did.
It
water's back.
Raised their tides, so we're able to get back in the lakes. You know, so I ran back in the lakes day before yesterday. Anyway, it raised the tide a little bit, and we got in some redfish, so it helped us out a little bit.
Good.
Definitely helps out. So, anyway, it's a good thing. We can get back in these lakes and get after the redfish. They finally showed up, you know. I got back from my trip, and everybody was complaining that they were having trouble with the reds. And so, and we got back in these lakes now. So, it's happening. what's happening. We had a redfish tournament yesterday here. I don't know how it turned out, but I'm sure they did good because it was high tide. I'm sure they found the reds, no doubt.
Yeah.
I'm sure of that. But I'll tell you what, we caught some really nice trout.
I mean, did you?
Oh, yeah. We had some real good ones. And, I mean, I don't think I had a trout under 19 inches. So
right.
We had some solid fish. So anyway, everybody was catching good fish, and we weren't able to get the surf, you know. That was out.
Of course. And,
yeah, of course. There were still people trying to get out there, though.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. There's always going to be people trying to get out there.
I know. You got to play the winds, man. I mean, people waste a lot of time on not-so-wise decisions trying to make something happen. It's inevitable. It's insane to do what you're doing. You might as well go find some protection and make the most of your day.
That's right. Exactly.
Do something sensible, you know?
Uh-huh. Exactly. I told a friend of mine the day before that wind picked up, I said, the wind's going to be 25 miles an hour. He said, man, don't get any of those negative vibes, you know. He said, I want to get in the surf. I said, it's not going to happen, I'm telling you.
You can wish all you want to, but it ain't going to lay, man. You're done.
That's right. I said, yeah. And we were sitting at the dock and waiting on the customers and look at the flags, at the bait flags, and they were straight out. I said, surf's out, man. Don't even think about it. Don't even waste your time, you know. And one of the guys was sitting there, and he said, I got two buddies going to go out there and look at it. I said, they're wasting their time, you know. Sure enough, you know, they called him, and they said, don't even think about it, man.
No.
It's rough. It's getting rougher. So, you know, you got to use your head.
Yeah, that's usually the people you end up reading about in the Chronicle or hearing on the 6 o'clock news, you know.
That's right. You know, every year you hear somebody turning boats over in the surf.
Sure.
Never fails. I remember one year, there's always somebody wants to be the first one to get in the surf, you know, first one. And there was one guy in particular I remember, boy, he had a brand new Mountie with a T-top and all that. He turned that Mountie over in the surf.
I mean,
oh, yeah, brand new boat. I remember that well. But it'll happen. It will happen.
Yeah, I remember somebody did that in a redfish tournament in Florida. Instead of going through all the no wake zones and wiggling through all the canals and stuff to get into another bay down there in the Tampa area, they decided, well, we're going to go out through the pass and run the surf down and then cut in. We'll be there 30 minutes ahead of everybody else. Well, they never made it because they rolled a boat in the surf. That's nobody was hurt, thank God, but that's the price you pay. And that's an experienced fisherman running a boat in rough surf conditions. Just, it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. That's the old hare and the tortoise theory, you know. I'll just take it easy and just, I'll be there. it may take me longer, but I'm going to be there safe and sound. At least I'll have a boat to fish out of when I get there.
That's right. I remember one time, you know, in good conditions, I was out there and we were anchored up in the surf. I was sitting in the back of the boat. I was running a Pathfinder, and I'm sitting back there. I had the cooler open, putting a trout in it, and I looked up, and there was a rogue wave coming.
Oh, Lord.
Out of nowhere. And I hollered at my customers. I said, hold on. And that wave hit us, and it engulfed the boat. I mean, just engulfed it. And I had water in the boat over the rod holders on the console.
Good Lord.
I mean, it filled the boat. And I said, you know, we can't take another wave like that. I mean, the boat couldn't do it. The scupper drains couldn't drain fast enough. And I cranked it up. We pulled the anchor and ran out and ran the water out, you know.
Goodness gracious.
But, you never know, you know. You just never
no,
know.
No, you don't. Lynn, are you in a hurry this morning? I got to do my top of the hour break, do a commercial break right quick. Can you talk some more, or you need to go?
Sure, you bet. No.
Hey, I'm gonna throw you on hold then, and I'm gonna just bear with me, and I'll come back to you as soon as we get this commercial break out of the way.
You bet, man. You bet.
All right, I'll be right back with you. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.